Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters. Episode 108. Your host, SBJ.
I'm Micah.
We're here to talk about monsters and the hunting of them.
See, sometimes I like start with confidence.
Uh-huh.
And then I feel like it throws you off and you lose the confidence.
It sometimes does throw me off, but you know, you go with it.
Just gotta roll with it.
You dig deep. You dig deep for the podcasting personality, I guess.
Yeah. We'll balance out someday.
The three things to talk about. We have an article off Game Rant with the 10 most powerful weapons. I feel like this is very objective, but that'll be the big meat of the show.
Oh, the meat.
Yeah.
Huh?
There's a variation of a monster we're going to talk about, but first, before we get to all of that, Monster Hunter World, Capcom's best-selling game ever, is on sale again.
At this rate, they could just make it free for like a week, and they would still probably increase in sales.
Man, if you've been on the fence, if you're listening to the show, you've been on the fence for a year of whether or not you should get this 14.3 gigabyte game. It is $24.99 on the PlayStation Store until August 20th. And if you have PlayStation Plus, you'll save an extra 10% plus, or the PlayStation Store has a sale on a bunch of different games until August 20th, the summer of PlayStation.
I didn't realize, I guess I forgot that was a thing. I remember back in the day, it was the summer of
Christmas
Xbox.
In July.
Was it the like summer of, I don't remember.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. They had a way catchier name.
Summer of downloads. I don't remember what it was.
The Xbox Live Store. Is that Xbox Store? I don't know what it's called.
Xbox Marketplace?
Yeah, Marketplace. Maybe?
Actually don't know if it's called that anymore.
Monster Hunter's on sale there too for $19.99. It's $5 cheaper, but it's only on sale for 4 more days. Don't know how these stores determine sales or whatnot, but $20 on Xbox for 4 more days and $25 on PlayStation for a whole month.
One whole month. I don't know if I can't remember if we talked about if Monster Hunter was included in the Game Pass.
It is. Yeah, it does say on the Xbox Marketplace that you can get it free with Game Pass.
I do see it now too. The standard edition specifically.
This reminds me, we never talked about this besides breaking news, but was it at E3 where they announced the Nier Gigante dynamic theme? And then they put it in the store. I think it was E3.
Oh,
maybe
yeah,
it was like right
I do
before.
Remember that.
I bought it. I bought it right away.
I did too.
And I like it. It reminds me
I
of
like
how
it too.
Good the Monster Hunter music is.
Yeah, it's a good theme.
It's just Nier Gigante just hanging out, just sitting there, slightly moving.
I assume we're gonna get an Iceborne theme.
Oh yeah, probably. I mean, I spent $3 for it, so I'm gonna get the most out of it.
You can also buy I just have this up because I was looking at the whether or not it was in the Xbox Game Pass, but they have all of the gestures and handlers' dresses and everything that you could possibly want.
Oh, the add-on stuff.
Yeah. What did you do? You said the price for the PlayStation, like the full
all the
like $25.
Yeah, all the gestures are $25. All the handler costumes are $15. All the sticker packs are $10. You can get everything I just said. The costumes, the gestures, the stickers. They call it the DLC collection. That's $40. So really, you're combining the handler costumes and the gestures, and then you're getting the stickers for free.
Isn't that how it always goes, though? You get the stickers for free.
Well, the best hashtag best value.
The best value.
I think, okay, so I definitely bought the Poogie stickers. I know that.
Yeah.
They were $2. I don't know if I ever bought any gestures.
I think I bought the Hadouken gesture. I can't remember if I bought anything else. I'd have to look through. I don't. The problem is I don't remember what was paid and what wasn't because it's been so long.
The Hadouken gesture is $4.
But was that not like some of the handlers' dresses too? Like, were those not?
I swear those were free when you just participated in the events.
I think maybe they went away after the event ends.
Okay.
So then you can like buy it to.
The real question
have
is,
it permanently?
I bet these gesture packs don't include the Hadouken, do they? Oh, they do. They do. They do. So for $24.99, it does include the Play Possum, Katao, Sleep, Neil, Hadouken, Shuriken, Passionate, Spinorama, Air Splits, Fever.
My favorite video game move, the Hadouken Shuriken.
Feverish Dance, Interpretive Dance, Galvanizing Dance. Gallivanting Dance, sorry. Windmill Whirlwind Squat Day is apparently a gesture. Good old Squat Day.
Squat Day.
Devil May Cry Dual Guns. Spirit Fingers. Disco Fever. Hip Hop Dance. Cool Dance. Step Dance. Pop Star Dance. Please note
this content. I didn't realize there were so many dances.
Purchased individually. Please ensure you do not purchase the same content twice. Purchasing this gesture pack will also trigger the download of these free items. Dance, Prance, Rant, and Clap. Oh, maybe I... No, Prance was free, right? Prance was free after the fact?
Prance was free. Yeah.
And then gesture, Happy Hunting.
Oh, man. If they charge for Prance...
Oh, people would be outraged. What do you think? Do you think hip-hop dance is the floss? I don't think they have a floss. I feel like that would have been news.
I hope that that's not the case.
Oh, wait. I got the video of the hip-hop dance. It has... Oh, it's just... yeah, it's. I guess it's just like your standard beatboxing dance.
Oh.
It looks good, though.
I think people would be more upset if they had the floss than if they charged for the prance.
I don't know. There's like, flossing over a carcass is... Probably the best way to floss.
The biggest middle finger to whatever you just hunted.
But if you floss near its mouth, are you not cleaning its teeth and dancing at the same time? All right, we need to move on.
I mean, get out of the port. Get out of here.
There was San Diego Comic-Con that happened, and there was a panel. What possibly happened on the panel? I'm not sure if you were there.
I actually have it here if you want to hear.
I do. I'm very curious.
If you were listening to this in the past, and it is Friday, July 19th, or any time before that, there is a panel on Friday at 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at SDCC 2019, and it is titled, there's actually no title, it just says Monster Hunter, but the description of the panel says, the world of Monster Hunter continues to grow. Here are the latest news in the series and the upcoming massive expansion, Monster Hunter World Iceborne. Members of the Monster Hunter team will be ready to share a look behind the scenes, game design info, and even perhaps some debuts. Featuring Capcom Japan development team with Brett Elston and Yuri from Capcom USA. So it seems like from the what they shared on Twitter as well, that it was mostly like a behind the scenes development panel. With the added spice of perhaps some debuts, which was really probably the like draw to get people there, right?
I mean, you want to put butts in seats.
I mean, I would be interested to see if I were there. I'd be interested to see the development behind the scenes anyways, but I think everybody else probably that doesn't care about that is still going to show up if there's a chance that they're going to debut something.
Well, debuted they did.
Debuted they did.
They have a 59-second... It's not even a trailer. It's I was a little frustrated with this.
There was an actual trailer at SDCC. We didn't get it. There was, like, you know how in the previous introductions to new or old to added monsters, they do the, like, it's a hunter and it's a cinematic thing of, like, they're hunting something else and then they get surprised and the new thing shows up or the old thing. They did have one of those and they didn't publish it. It was specifically the way that I saw it was, dear friend G Rank Kuropeko, retweeted somebody who took a video of it while they were there. It's like a video of the screen.
Oh,
so it's like a hunter, just like inspecting a carcass. Like he's gonna carve it maybe, and the monster appears. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't like officially publish this, but maybe they will. Maybe they're saving it.
Yeah, they published the Glavinus gameplay, but they didn't like feature it. Like it's like not their featured video on their YouTube page.
Yeah.
About 250,000 views, acidic Glavinus gameplay. It's just a hunter fighting this acidic Glavinus. It looks cool.
Yeah, I'm. It looks neat. I like all these new variants. I'm kind of bummed that they didn't like show this. I'm sure we'll get it eventually, but yeah. They didn't show this trailer because this trailer looks like the actual gameplay is very cool to see as, like, you know, someone who plays the game. But I feel like the better intro is usually like here's a cinematic trailer for it because it shows the Glavinus like regrowing acidic. Like shards on its tail, because when it hits things with it, then they fly off.
See, like sometimes it has like a bunch of yellow mushroom-ish things on its tail, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, it's real neat.
This hunter, I don't think ever gets a hit. I think it just Glavinus hits him every time. I think. Like rewatching here,
they did have a in addition to that trailer, the person who tweeted this originally, which was at Swordsman09, if you're curious, shared, in addition to that trailer, they shared the like development slides for Acidic Glavinus, and it says, game design outline, Acidic Glavinus appears in the Rotten Vale as a rank 4 monster with debuffing capabilities. As time passes, an element that causes a debuffing effect appears on its tail. When the tail is sharpened, the debuffing element disappears, and in its place, the monster gains better mobility and attack power. In this sharpened state, it challenges players by moving around while attacking. And they have really good illustrations. And by really good, I mean just like geometric shapes.
Didn't we suggest, I mean, like not that we predicted or anything. I think it was kind of obvious. I think anyone who likes Monster Hunter enough and watched the recent trailers probably guessed that when Urigan walks out with like the acid on its face and like trips over, it was like, oh, is that going to be like of Urigan?
Oh, sure. Yeah. What was that specifically? I don't recall now.
That was like the end of the trailer where
they never like expanded on that, did they?
No, it was,
I think it was the original Glavinus reveal, right?
What? Yeah, well, it was the start. That trailer debuted Glavinus, but at the end, they were like hinting that what's-his-face is back.
Oh, Brachydios?
Brachydios, yeah. Or Brachydios.
Brachy.
But maybe that's like not acidic. Maybe that's like slime. So maybe it's not one-to-one.
Maybe it's, you know. Just acid. Acid debuff. Just real quick, they also did slides for, at this panel, they had slides for Ebony, Odogaron, and Fulgur and Janath. They just say that it's a rank four monster capable of utilizing dragon element, bleeding status, ailments. Utilizes dragon element attacks, is weak to elemental damage, but dragon element makes it hard to do damage to it. They show the, they in the slides, the development slides, they call it Deathgaron instead of Ebony Odogaron. They show some of the concept art for the Ebony Odogaron gear, and then they do the same for Fulgur and Janath. They do a side-by-side comparison of the Anjanath gear and the Fulgur Anjanath gear. It's kind of neat. I like stuff like that. I don't know that everybody does, but I definitely like things like that.
Yeah. People love ranking stuff and then being mad that and then being upset that the ranking charts is wrong compared to their own opinions. This is off Game Rant, though. This is the 10 most powerful weapons in Monster Hunter World ranked. July 20th, 2019. And number 10 is the Gun Lance. A combination of... They explain the weapon and then they explain why it's ranked. I'm going to skip explaining the weapon. We all know that. The reason it ranks so low is the player's mobility is seriously compromised with this weapon. It must rely on armor and tanking. It requires the player to get up close and personal for the full effect of the gun blast, which is dangerous in many cases. I'm not a huge fan of the Gun Lance, but...
The Gun Lance? I mean, people who love the Gun Lance really love the Gun Lance. I have noticed. I guess that can apply to, like, any weapon.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But I feel like there have been distinctly more people that I've encountered that like Gunlance that have been like, you need to try Gunlance because it will change your life.
Number 9 is the Insect Glaive. Skilled players can use the Insect Glaives to dodge sweeping attacks, land on the monster backs. They also have the ability to deploy Kinsects that collect essence from monsters or mid-fight boost for either defense, attack, healing, or speed. They rank low because they require a lot of patience and a lot of skill to take a lot of strikes to take down a monster, but it can be some fun gameplay. The insect stuff always kind of turned me off.
Yeah, I
didn't want to micromanage my insects.
Previous games, I haven't really ever touched it in World, but yeah, I didn't particularly love it.
Number 8 is the Switch Axe. Typically, players will fight in the Axe mode and only switch to Sword when an opportunity arises for good damage or an elemental strike. The only reason it doesn't rank higher is that it's a complicated weapon to use, and many players often forget to switch modes in the heat of battle, which gets them killed.
The Swax.
The Swax.
The old Swax. That's the Will special.
Oh yeah, Will does like the Switch Axe.
Will loves the Switch Axe. And I remember one time mistaking that he liked the Charge Blade.
Yes, well it's weird because...
And he was very offended.
The Charge Blade switches to an axe, but is not the Switch Axe.
Yeah, something like that.
Number 7 is the Heavy Bowgun. With immense power comes vulnerability. These heavy weapons significantly compromise the player's mobility and put them at risk when the enemy attacks. It's extremely useful in co-op, but very dangerous in solo.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really think a ton about, like, soloing something with the Heavy Bowgun. When I played Heavy Bowgun... I've always played with people, so there were, like, other people doing close combat things while I was in the near background shooting.
I mean, I agree that, like, the reason I didn't like the Heavy Bowgun was because the lack of mobility.
Yeah.
But...
as a someone who used the greatsword a lot, I didn't mind it a ton because it's just chunk rolling.
Number six, the greatsword. The downside to the greatsword is they're heavy, and like the heavy bowgun, players are limited in their mobility, considering they also have terrible blocking powers. They have terrible blocking power. Players are reliant. There's supposed to be a comma somewhere in there. Players are reliant upon careful timed dodges and a bit of tanking. You were a greatsword user for a long time.
I was. But I've since slimmed down my sword to a less large sword. And I think I love it even more. It's definitely chunky. It's very heavy. I don't miss the like loss in mobility. It's still fun, but I don't miss that.
Number five is the charge blade. Like the Switch Axe, the charge blade is capable of transforming between sword and shield to axe mode. What makes the charge blade better than the Switch Axe is when players fight with the sword and shield, they build up charges that store in the weapon. Then, when the player switches to axe, they unleash a charge for an explosive effect. For players who learn the combos and flow of combat, this weapon can be beastly.
Will's favorite weapon, the charge blade. I'm sorry, Will. If you hear this, I apologize. A lot of people love the charge blade, though. It's definitely feels like a veteran favorite.
Number four is the bow. The only reason it doesn't rank higher is that it's limited when it comes to close quarter combat. The bow is meant to be used as mid-range, so players can constantly jockey for position, which can be difficult in solo. It also lacks the punch of stronger weapons, which means it struggles with armored foes and requires targeting weak spots.
I got no quip about the bow. It's a bow. I know it. I know people like it. That's it. Do people like the weapons they play? That's
no. Everyone hates the weapon they play.
I see. I got it. I'm understanding now.
I just realized hammer's not on this list.
Wait.
Okay.
Well, it is a top 10, so no spoilers.
Jeez. Number three is the light bow gun. The downside to the rapid fire is the potential for running out of ammo. Not necessarily a problem if players are careful with their shots and go into battle with loaded ammo. But it's a problem bow users don't face, yet it still ranks higher for its high rate of fire and its ability to fight in close quarters. I like the light bow gun. I like the weapons I play.
I also like the weapons I play. This is, see, at least you get something on the list. You do like the light bow gun. Do you like the light bow gun more now than the hammer?
No. I mean, like, I like them in different situations. Like, for me,
like
the...
them equally?
Yes. Like, I think if I was solo, I would pick the hammer.
Okay.
And if I was playing with people that would respect my space, I would pick the hammer. But, like... the most frustrating thing of the hammer or any close weapon is just getting hit by other people. So it's like really frustrating to be like, I'm the dude that's supposed to work the head. And then you all have all these sword users also near the head. And it's just,
I feel
like
this is a personal call out.
Just why are you guys here? Go to its butt. It has a tail. Why are you here hitting me?
Sometimes when you chop the tail off, though, you gotta work other parts of it, you know.
So that's frustrating for me. So I will almost always, like, if I have a group that like has no clue of personal space, I will instantly switch to the light bow gun, which will make my experience more enjoyable, and I also don't have to be that person that's like, please attack your specific role part.
Wait, you mean like you just did?
Yeah, because I hate being that guy. Some people get real happy and they just want to chop the head, but
they're just having a good time, you know.
There's other things you can chop as a sword user.
Just having a good time.
So yeah, I like the light bow gun because I can just stand back and I'm not getting in anyone's space. No one's getting my space. I also like the healing potential that it has. Like I can shoot healing stuff, but I don't know if I would put like light bow gun over hammer.
Yeah.
Number two is the longsword. For players who can keep their spirit levels up, gives this weapon great damage. But it's because of this that it doesn't take the number one spot. Players must keep their spirit gauge maxed out and raise the levels to get to full potential with this weapon.
It's true. Gotta max out that spirit gauge.
I didn't know that was like a thing you had to keep maxed out.
Oh, yeah. That's why we're swinging so wild. Gotta max out that gauge. At Monster Hunter World was really the game that made me fall in love with this weapon. Not that it was like bad in previous Monster Hunters, it just felt better to me and it helped me like, I don't know, just get more acquainted with it, I guess, in World. I like it a lot.
And finally, number one is the hammer. No. The dual blades. It ranks higher than the longsword because they are a good weapon even without demon mode. The player is a whirlwind of blades that can dart away from attacks and keep the player ever from receiving damage if they remain light on their feet. This was the weapon that got me into Monster Hunter.
Yeah?
This was it. I hated
this was it.
I hated the game, and then I discovered the dual blades, and then I hated the game less.
They're good weapons. Prior to World, started to get more acquainted with these, if you recall, and then discovered the longsword and decided I liked that more. I was on that grind to find the weapon that I wanted, to find something new. I really like the dual blades, though. They're a very good weapon. And some of the, charged attacks or whatever are real neat. Like sliding down the spine of the monster with the whirlwind.
Yeah.
Looks real good.
My wife really likes the dual blades a lot.
She does.
It's her weapon of choice.
My wife likes the hunting horn.
Does she?
No, that's not true. I don't think she has a weapon preference. I don't think she's played enough Monster Hunter to have weapon preference.
Sure. I was like, whoa.
So no hunting horn, no hammer on this list.
No lance. They got
no lance. No,
one more weapon we're missing.
What else is missing? Sword and shield?
Sword and shield, yeah. So sword and shield, hammer, lance, and the last one? Oh, hunting horn. I mean, I feel like if you're going to top 10, you might as well just do all 14.
Yeah, just do a tier list at that point.
why cut the four? Obviously, I mean, like, everyone's opinion is different. I just, always fun to revisit what people feel.
Right.
Is, like, the best or not the best.
Yeah. They're ranting, because this is GameRant.com.
That's our episode for you guys today. What is next? Next week is nothing. Okay, cool. I was just seeing when am I going to be out of town, but that is a while from now. So, that's our episode for you guys today. We'll be back next week. Hopefully they'll do like a proper Glavinus trailer or something of the sort. But we are like 8 weeks out from Stormblood. Oh my gosh. Iceborne. Stormblood, Shadowkeep, Shadowbringers.
I'm not
Shadowborn.
Yeah. That's it.
Ice Keepers.
Iceblood.
Iceblood is a pretty good expansion name.
Icebringers. I did see in the comments, I'm not going to specifically call them out cuz I don't want to, you know. We'll see if it comes around that way. Someone asked a question about the next reveal date and someone else responded and said August 8th. And when they were asked how they knew that, they said, my uncle works at Nintendo. It could very easily be nothing. But I always like to like note things to see if someone was right, because there's always that chance that like someone's going to be right, you know?
I mean, you just keep predicting dates. Eventually, you'll be right.
That's true, I guess. Yeah, just keep going until one of them is correct.
If you want to follow us on Twitter, at Carve Podcast, you can follow Micah at Micah the Brave. You can follow myself at Dragging a Lake. If you haven't and you want to leave us a review in Apple Podcasts, please do. Apparently, Apple is doing the switch now. Apparently, there's no more. So for those in depth with the podcast scene, there used to be a section called Games and Hobbies, which video games used to be listed. But they got rid of Games and Hobbies. It's gone. And they changed it to Leisure. So video games is now under Leisure. So we are we strive to be the number one leisure podcast in Apple Podcasts.
That's it. We did it.
They also created an anime and manga category, but that is also under Leisure.
Okay.
But I guess that's new. Like,
that's us though, right?
Well, no, we're not anime or manga. You can't search for the leisure category yet. It's not searchable, but
we're anime, manga, and leisure. That's why we're not anime, manga.
Not video games anymore.
No, yeah.
It's pure 100% leisure.
That's us.
Hunters, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on leisuring those monsters. Is leisuring a word? You just carve them.